I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We just set a record. Third consecutive hour, we're opening with some type of Star Wars music at Star Wars. Classic lines, and they come from, well, from my Star Wars nerddom and our previous technical director, or we call him audio video coordinator, Isaac, who knew I love Star Wars, and so he put all those together for me. Producer Dave, he teases me with them, which is just unfair, wholly, except for when we're doing a story, well, a story. We're doing a question like the one we're doing right now, which is, as a sports fan, very often, if we're super passionate and completely illogical about it, irrational, illogical, that marks us as sports fans, we often have teams or athletes that we root for just as hard or root against just as hard as we root for our own teams, right? So there are, I've given a couple of examples. When Dale Earnhardt was still racing and Jeff Gordon came on the scene, I often rooted just as hard for Gordon to crash or to have some type of mechanical issue as I did root for Dale Earnhardt to win. I was so divided. It was just two sides of my fandom, two sides of my loyalty. And there are other teams still where the old rivalries and the old familiar emotions die hard, where I can be watching a particular team. It's not even the same athletes as it was when I was a kid and formed these kind of irrational emotions, but I can root just as hard against a team these days as I can root for one of my own teams to win. And so we've got the standards, and these are generally the teams that win a lot and get a lot of attention, which is why sports fans have this annoyance about them and this jealousy about them, right? It's the New England Patriots. So I kind of feel like we should have some sympathy for them after what they're going through. So the Patriots and the Yankees, Tom Brady, absolutely. There's Duke Blue Devils in there, a bit of Alabama Crimson Tide. And Dave wondered earlier why they weren't getting more tweets and more Facebook posts. But I think it's because Nick Saban's pretty likable. That's just me, though. I think he's pretty likable and also kind of quirky and a mad scientist. And he's not arrogant, or at least he doesn't come across that way. And so maybe that's just my perception, but you don't get as many people who hate the Alabama Crimson Tide. You get a lot of Duke Blue Devils, a lot of Yankees, a lot of Patriots. I would say a lot of Dodgers these days, too, after going to two World Series and losing and then finally winning one. People maybe are tired of hearing about them as well. So in your sports world, in your fandom, who is the evil empire? Hashtag Star Wars. Hashtag Star Wars nerd. Hashtag Imperial March. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. We've done a little bit of everything on this show. We talked about the first round of the Masters. Only Justin Rose came away with a round to remember. Now, there were others who grinded, who managed to salvage something from their round. There are a couple of really cool storylines, like the guy who's tied for second place, four strokes behind Justin Rose, who was the last golfer to get into the field. He was number 88 to get into the field. And yet he is now sitting second on the leaderboard. I think that's pretty amazing. He's an American. His name is Brian Harman. Last of the 88 golfers to qualify for the Masters. And yet he's sitting minus three, tied for second place behind Justin Rose. But it was Justin Rose who tore through the back nine on this course. On Thursday, an eagle and seven birdies in a 10-hole stretch. He went from plus two to minus seven. Wowzers. Not many other guys did that. Jordan Spieth had a triple bogey on nine. He was busy clocking his ball into a tree in the pine straw. Man, he was in danger pretty much all round long, and yet he salvaged a minus one with an eagle on 15. This is how Sergio Garcia put it when he finished his round at plus four.
I fought hard, but I don't know. I feel like I just came out of the ring with Evander Holyfield, you know, like a 12-round match. So I need to go home and rest.
Sergio Garcia spent because he just went 12 rounds with Evander Holyfield. Rory McIlroy is also plus four. He hit his dad. He hit his dad with an approach shot on a green. So he said it wasn't that bad of a shot, but somehow it was his dad that took the brunt of his approach shot.
Rory, the approach on seven, did you hit your target there?
That's, in fairness, it was where I was trying to turn it off. It was a perfect shot. It was dead straight. But I think he was okay. I don't think he didn't limp away. He walked away pretty swiftly, so that was all right.
Did he say dad straight or dead straight? Yeah, it was just a little bit too long. Apparently his dad knew exactly where Rory was going with that golf ball and was in the line of fire, hit him in the calf, but I guess he's okay. Rory is also plus four. Dustin Johnson finished over par. Everybody except for the 12 golfers that are sitting under par, they all have got some work to do, but Justin Rose is in a place where if he can keep this momentum going, he could find himself with his first green jacket.
Hopefully you can just run off instinct a little bit. I've competed in these big tournaments quite a few times, and I've got one of them to my name, but we're looking for more. But I've had some situations in my career that should stand me in good stead. But listen, I think to keep the expectations relatively low, even in this situation, is probably not a bad thing for me for the remainder of the week, and just keep it one shot at a time. Just keep committing. This golf course, you can never get ahead of yourself on. We've seen it many times.
The weather is expected to turn, so Augusta National could lose some of her bite. But on Thursday, the course was, in fact, in charge, large and in charge. The greens were diabolical. They were fast, like race course fast, and they were also featured. They also featured these incredible pin placements where you just had no room to negotiate or to move on the side of a hill. This is one of the reasons why I love the Masters, because the greens are such a challenge. But if it does rain, things could become a little softer, more like they were in November. There was a hole in one. Tommy Fleetwood knocked one in. It bounced a couple of times and then dropped into the cup on 16. So that was kind of cool. And I would expect a fight. But right now, Justin Rose has a 4-stroke lead after a blistering back nine in the opening round of the Masters. And they're just a couple of hours away for getting out there on the course again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. We're asking you your evil empire in sports. There are a lot of people that would root against Tiger Woods when he was out there on the course simply because they were tired of hearing about him. And that's often what changes our perception. It's often why we begin to loathe a team. It's not so much that we hate the team or the athletes, is that we're tired of hearing about them. The Golden State Warriors for 5 straight years with 5 straight NBA finals. LeBron James. There's no way that if you're thinking clearly and you're in full possession of your senses, you cannot appreciate what LeBron has meant to the NBA. Now, you can dislike his politics, you can think he's super arrogant, you can believe he gets too much coverage, but come on, if you're really thinking straight, LeBron James is an incredible piece of our most recent sports history, the last 20 years.
I'm sorry.
He's not. He's sorry, not sorry. So I understand being tired of hearing about athletes. Sometimes that's the very reason why we can't stand them, is that we're just tired of hearing about them. We feel like they're thrown in our faces, in your face, way too often. I call that hashtag sports hate, but it's really jealousy. Don't we wish it was our favorite athlete or our favorite team that was constantly getting the headlines? I saw a bunch of that on our Facebook page and on Twitter even before the Masters started, because we were asking you the question of how many of you will watch less of the Masters because there's no Tiger Woods. Now, I give you credit. Those of you who voted in our poll or found us on Facebook, roughly half of you said you're just as interested because it's the Masters. It is a premier tournament. It's interesting no matter who is leading and whether or not Tiger's there. But Tiger and the Masters have been pretty synonymous over the past 24 years, right? It's been a tournament that when he plays, he dominates the headlines and, of course, has the five green jackets. But to your credit, sports fans, many of you will watch. Most of you say you're going to watch anyway. But that's not the case all the time. Like, there are times when I get lambasted, or the media gets lambasted for throwing athletes like Tiger Woods into the center ring of the circus, even when they're not relevant in terms of the outcome. Yeah, there are definitely athletes that we cover with overkill, but that's because those athletes move the needles, baby. You love them or you hate them. That's the deal. If we can get an emotional reaction out of you, I don't want you to feel lukewarm about my radio show. I want you to love it or I want you to hate it. I want you to be hooked on it because you love it or because you can't stand me so badly that you can't miss the next ridiculous thing that I'll say to fuel your sports hate. I want to be someone who causes you to have an emotional reaction. And that's when you know we're doing our jobs as hosts, but also when you know that you're hooked when it comes to sports.
I love Aaron Rodgers.
Now, see, you can love Aaron Rodgers, you can hate Aaron Rodgers. But if you have no emotion or no feeling about him whatsoever, you're probably not tuning in and paying attention. That's what gets you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's go back to our phones here. Gene is listening in San Jose. Gene, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
Okay, hey, I just wanted to say, you don't know what was in that bottle.
I don't.
And Tiger, so that's all I'm saying. And it's just like,
Wait, hold on, Gene. I never told you I did. In fact, I've said multiple times, just to clarify, it could have been aspirin. The man's got back trouble. There's no way of knowing if anything to do with that empty pill bottle was part of why he crashed. And I've said, we can't make that connection. That's not fair to Tiger. It's not fair to the LA County Sheriffs. My point only in bringing it up is that it's in the police report, and yet for some reason nobody's talking about it. It's now public knowledge, and there are a bunch of different articles and reports that have been written about it, and yet somehow that's not yet been seized on as the headline, as the clickbait, which I find fascinating.
Okay. I get you now. Mm-hmm. All right. But you know, you kind of implied that.
No, I did not, Gene. I did not imply. I very carefully, I'm going to cut you off. I did not imply that pill bottle or what was in that pill bottle had anything to do with Tiger's accident. I specifically repeated myself probably 5 or 6 times and said, we don't know there's any connection. It was empty. It was 7 o'clock in the morning. He was going to work. He was about to film a golf round with Justin Herbert and Drew Brees. To me, it stands to reason that he was either tired or just accidentally hit the gas pedal. I'm just telling you, it stuns me that with an empty pill bottle in the car, similar to, say, like an empty beer bottle in a car, that there was no reason still for the sheriff's deputy to decide they needed to check his blood. That's all I'm saying. And I'm saying it's odd that nobody's really talking about it. But I have no way of knowing, and I'm not going to say, even speculate, that he was under the influence, because that's not fair.
Then why bring it up?
Because it stuns me that with Tiger Woods, with the narrative around Tiger Woods, that we know there was an empty pill bottle in the car, and yet somehow that's not the clickbait that's on social media. I very clearly said that. If you're looking for someone to open up your column and read the column, and you're looking for a reason to make people check out what you wrote, that would be the number one thing that you would put as your headline. Empty pill bottle in Tiger's vehicle.
Well, you just said it, and that's why I'm still here, okay? And I'm sorry.
You don't have to be sorry. I've been very clear about it. Anybody who says that I've accused Tiger of being under the influence, or I think that it's the cause of his accident, that's not true. I would never say that. I have far too much integrity to do that. It's not fair to Tiger, and they've already closed the case. And unless Tiger has more information to offer, this is all the information we're going to have. But don't tell me you don't think that it's weird that that no one's talking about an empty pill bottle in his backpack. Come on, man. This is 2021 okay. In the United States of America with social media that runs rampant. You don't think it's odd that you didn't know about it until today?
Oh, no. I don't think it's odd. Okay. I understand what you're saying, but my point is, you made a point out of it.
I did.
That's all I'm saying.
And okay. I have not done anything that I am sorry for that I would take back. I do think it's odd that that's not the number one storyline right now.
That's cool. And you know what? I appreciate you taking my call because you answered my question.
All right. I appreciate that, Gene. Thank you. Listening in San Jose, he said he was still listening because I was making the point. Yeah, I mean, you can twist my words however you want. I am not implying anything. My whole point is, in my business and the way that we know social media works these days, if you want someone to open up your link, if you want someone to go to your website, the headline would be empty pill bottle in Tiger's backpack. Do you want to know how many millions of people would read that police report immediately or would read that article immediately? I'm not telling you it's fair, but come on, that's social media. That's clickbait. People don't normally read unless the headline grabs them, right? I mean, I deal with this every day. I put posts on social media and I hope that they're interesting enough for people to go to our podcast to check it out. I know that's not always the case. I don't like using clickbait as a way to get new followers. That kind of stuff, it can be unethical if you're a reputable news organization. But it does surprise me that the headline was Tiger thought he was in Florida or Tiger was disoriented, because three paragraphs down in both of the columns that I read and the ones that Dave has seen too, there's a line in there that says an empty pharmaceutical bottle, not labeled, was found in Tiger's bag. Given his history, you don't mean to tell me that's not something people want to know? Come on now. That is the headline, except it's not, which is the part that I find odd. I'm not implying anything. Like I said, Tiger's the only one who knows what happened, and the case is now closed. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We want to know your evil empire in sports. Michael's firing a shot over the wall on Twitter. Anyone that leaves Alabama off the list is either not a real college football fan or simply collaborators. Saban convincing me he's likable is a classic Sith mind trick. I think he's pretty fascinating. The fact that he doesn't remember, what did he forget a couple of years ago? Oh, that it was the day to vote. Remember, he forgot it was election day. A couple years ago, he says if not for his wife, he wouldn't even know to get a haircut, or he'd forget to eat half the time. I don't know if it's that drastic, but the man's pretty focused. He is a mad scientist, let's be honest. Good morning to you if you're waking up on your Friday. We'd love for you to find us on our social media, free of clickbait, really, because I suck at it. I can write headlines for other people, I guess.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Now the 1-2 pitch, breaking ball in there, strike three call.
It hit him.
And they're saying it nicked him on the arm. The game is over. It was called a strike initially, but then it was ruled that the ball hit Conforto. Michael gets to first base. The Mets are pounding on him. And in a very unusual scene, Don Mattingly is saying, hold the phone. We want to check this out. Meanwhile, the Mets are celebrating a 3-2 win with Conforto being hit by a pitch.
From my point of view, you know, it was a slider. Felt like it was coming back to me, and I just, you know, I turned. There may have been a little lift in my elbow just out of habit, out of reaction, and it barely skimmed the edge of my elbow guards.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A walk-off on a hit-by-pitch. A bases-loaded hit-by-pitch. It's not the first time it's ever happened, but it's pretty rare, and it's bizarre. But that's how the Mets win their home opener over the Marlins. And as you can imagine, there was quite an uproar because the umpire later admits that it should have been a strike because it was in the strike zone. The ball was in the strike zone. But what Don Mattingly was upset about is that he thought Michael Conforto stuck out that elbow pad, that right elbow pad, just so that he could appear to be hit by a pitch and that would then give them a cheap run. All right, so you hear the call with Howie Rose on the Mets radio network. The crew chief, Ron Culpa, who was also the plate umpire, signaled strike initially and then changed his ruling and said Conforto was hit by a pitch. And so the Mets were able to celebrate that kind of walk-off, so to speak. But yeah, according to baseball rules, if a batter is plunked in the strike zone, plunked, I love that word. It's one of my favorite words to use in all of sports, plunked. It has a sound to it, plunked. If he's plunked, sorry, by a pitch in the strike zone, it's a strike and not a hit by pitch. What did McNeil say? I saw this. So Jeff McNeil has had the tying home run in the ninth to put them in this position, but he said, we caught a little break. Yes. Yes, you did. Don Mattingly was not quite as cheerful about the outcome because the Marlins are desperate for wins right now.
It's just frustrating, I think, more than anything, that the ball's a strike. And he went to call it a strike. And it seems like if it's in the strike zone and you get hit, it should be a strike. Uh-huh. And you really can't say he got hit by a pitch. That's the thing. He went to call it. So if it's a strike, how can it be hit by pitch?
He asked a good question. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Who is the evil empire? I don't feel like the Mets excite that much emotion to get a reaction where they might be the evil empire, though they're probably not getting a Christmas card from Don Mattingly. But the evil empire answers are generally ones that excite a lot of emotion, anger, hatred, jealousy, loathing. It's because they're in the headlines a lot or because they're rivalries and our teams are constantly running into them like we run into brick walls. Who are your evil empires in sports, whether an athlete or whether a particular franchise? Tim is listening in Portland, Maine. Welcome to After Hours.
How are you? Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I have to excuse my voice. My allergies kicked right in this morning.
That's okay.
So my evil empire, it's not even because I don't like the team. I'm a huge Giants fan, so and Yankee fan in Maine, living here. I hear about it every single day. It's brutal. You know, it's just brutal. But all I got two answers for all that. Who has more rings? And who beat Tom Brady
hey,
twice?
This is not the answer to the question.
One.
Who's the evil empire for you, Tim? Don't use my show to strike back at those who cause you grief.
Oh, it's awful. They are my evil empire. You know, the Patriots are. I mean, you know, if you're a true fan, you would know who the quarterback was in 1991. Who was it? Anybody know that? Does anybody know the answer to that question?
Steve Grogan? No, I don't know.
Oh, it was Hugh Millen. Hugh Millen. 1991. Anyway, listen, so I got to deal with it every day. I appreciate you taking my call. I really cannot stand the Patriots. It's not because of the Patriots. I'm glad they win. It's good they win. You know, it's good for the football. It's good for everything. I just can't stand the fans. I have to hear it day in and day out. But I tell you what, 18-1. That's all I got to tell you. You got 18-1. You got beat by a 9-17. Went back into the playoffs. One out and then beat you because you thought you were going to get the trophy for free.
I mean, listen to you trash talking. I swear you called up to use my national radio program just to talk your smack, Tim.
I listen to you every morning on the way into work. You know, I listen to it. I'm not like the other guy that called and didn't understand about the pill bottle thing. I heard what you said. You didn't insinuate anything. You're asking a question.
I'm asking a question. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. You have a great day.
Have a good weekend. In Portland, Maine, even with his scratchy throat, you can hear the New England accent, which I love. That's the deal. It's not my job as a talk show host to shield a particular athlete. Now, to create a storyline where there isn't one, to take it a step further and say, no way, he had to be under the influence while he was driving. Well, that's not something I can say with any integrity. But my only point is, how is this not the story, given Tiger's history? It's in the police report. So that's kind of where this started. I'm past speculating what happened with Tiger. It's strange. The circumstances are odd. He never braked. He never steered. He never tried to correct in steering. He was obviously disoriented, but maybe he hit his head. That the speeds that he was going, I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of unanswered questions there. Yeah, we know he was speeding. Why was he speeding like that? So there are unanswered questions. We're never going to get answers to those questions unless Tiger decides to share more information, and he may not remember. But the fact that there was an empty pill bottle in the car makes me wonder, A, how is that not a headline? And B, how did the sheriff's department still not think it was worth checking his blood, right? So he was disoriented. He thought he was in Florida. Even if he didn't seem like he was driving under the influence, you know, there's still, I would think, enough circumstantial evidence there that you would want to go ahead and do a blood test. But he didn't injure anyone else. He took out a tree. Poor tree. Tree hugger's probably upset about that. He took out a tree, but it was a single car crash, and Tiger's the one who is suffering the consequences. Maybe in that realm, there was no need to take this a step further or to investigate. But there are unanswered questions. Let's be honest. We don't actually know what happened. We just know he was speeding when he took out the tree and when he crashed into the ravine. And here's the thing. We're not going to get answers to those questions. So we're just going to have to be content with questions. That's so much of life, isn't it? Sometimes I get really annoyed about that. No, I need to know why. But in lots of instances in life, personal, professional, we don't get to know why. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, on Facebook. Who's your evil empire? Wade says if they were any good, I would say the Florida State Seminoles, but they're not. Now, see, that makes it easier, right? When your evil empire sucks, or when your evil empire is folding or imploding, well, then you don't have to hate them with nearly as much fervor. So Wade says instead I'll go with Bama and Nikki Satan. Do people call him that? I've never heard anyone refer to Saban as Satan. It's easy, right? But a little sacrilegious. I mean, come on now.
I mean, I kind of like it.
I do too, but I've honestly never heard that before. Robin on Facebook, we're the evil empire. Everyone hates Notre Dame football. Embrace it. I think Yankees fans embrace it. The guy in New England who was using the show to talk smack, he embraces the fact that everyone hates his favorite team. Yeah, I mean, if you're in a position where you're constantly challenging for championships, you don't mind that everyone hates you. What is the response? Look at the scoreboard. Or in a chant, scoreboard.
They don't boo nobody's.
That's true. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it, but it's not. This is the one, Dave. You hate us because you ain't us. How often do you hear that with sports fans?
That's a fact.
Bring it. You hate it because you hate us because you ain't us. I mean, the semantics aside, it's still brilliant, right? It's the perfect answer. Who is your evil empire, whether an athlete or a team? 855-212-4CBS. All right, this is the moment of truth on a Friday morning. Brad Heller, is this thing on? Are you there?
Hi, Amy.
Did you do that on purpose? A pregnant pause on purpose?
I wouldn't do that. No,
no
way.
Well, you were
no way.
Loud and clear this morning, so happy
loud
Friday.
Loud and clear.
Are you ready
it's
for
a
this?
Friday. I'm ready.
All right.
No, are you ready?
I'm ready.
The question is, are you ready?
No Marco Belletti to veer into your lane and steal your thunder this time.
How rude. How rude. I'm going to have to talk to him about that.
You should.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Come on, come on.
Click, click, boom.
Here on After Hours, we end every show the same way.
Boom! I just laid down the A-law. Boom!
You know it. You love it. Now we're cranking it up a notch. After Hours presents the best highlights.
Foles running up and down the lines. A direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Foles caught the ball!
Boom!
So we got a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back. It's a grand slam! They're going in the Nationals dugout. Howie Kendrick with a grand slam here in the 10th inning of game
the boom moment of the week. Here's Amy Lawrence. Boom.
Smith, the lefty, sets. Runners lead first and second. The pitch. Swing it away, driving to center field. A base hit. Robles to third. It gets by. Puts it into the wall. Robles coming in to score. And an opening day. Curly W is in the books. They're mobbing Juan Soto out there, second base. The Nationals come from behind. They're beating the Braves 6-5.
I think it was my first walk-off in the big leagues. You're just amazing. Whenever I get to the plate, I just try to concentrate, try to hit the ball, try to hit the ball hard, whatever it goes, just try to bring that run in.
He did exactly that. And after 5 days of anxious waiting, not so patient waiting, while the rest of Major League Baseball got busy with the 2021 season, the Nationals had to sit back and wait and hope that the COVID infection did not spread. Finally get on the base paths. They finally get a chance to run and pitch and catch. And what happens? Juan Soto, first walk-off hit in the big leagues. And the Nationals get that curly W for opening day, which I hope was well worth the wait. The call on the Nationals radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, producer Dave, how come no one's saying the Jets are the evil empire? How come no one is saying the Bengals are the evil empire? How come no one is saying the Mariners are the evil empire? What do those teams have in common?
That's just not nice, what you're doing right now.
Well, it's because if you're not relevant, no one considers you to be a threat. In then, ergo, I've never used that word on the radio before, ergo, you cannot be the evil empire.
This is true.
No one's afraid of you.
Maybe if you asked this question in 1969 or 1970, Joe Namath and the Jets might have been an answer. But currently, until Trevor Lawrence takes over and conquers the world.
The Rockies.
Yeah, no.
The Sacramento Kings.
Nope. Not even close. It's a good try, though.
Who's your evil empire?
So, it's probably pretty obvious as a Jets fan, but it has to be the Patriots, and it's not for where they are now. It's for what they've done to me as a sports fan for two decades.
I'm not laughing at you.
And that's okay. And
how long until you let it go?
When is never happening.
Ooh, okay, Jeopardy.
Yeah, no.
When is never.
And Tom Brady. I respect him. I understand that he's the greatest of all time, but I don't have to like him.
He's purposely not retiring ever because of you. You
yeah.
texted him.
He didn't answer.
He didn't answer.
I mean,
this is now becoming a personal rivalry with Tom Brady.
And I have two more quick answers to the question because I took it to a level where the organization or the ownership that other people and callers have mentioned, the guy's a Pirate fan. He doesn't like the Pirates ownership. Same for me with the Knicks. I've been a Knicks fan as well as the Jets and Yankees for my whole life. I cannot stand mostly James Dolan, as the owner of the Knicks. I think that he is the number one problem there, and it's hard to root for him and also the team and what he's done to it. So even though that's the team that I root for, I don't like him at all as an owner. So.
Yeah, there are a couple of people who've answered with owners or management saying, hey, they're ruined our team. We've seen some Jerry Jones with the Dallas Cowboys. We've certainly talked about the owner of the Pirates. A couple more on Facebook, and we'll get back to your phones. Buff says the Clemson Tigers. That's what happens when you have a team that's won a couple of championships and it's been relevant for a few years. People get tired of hearing about them. Megan, when I was a young hockey fan in the early 90s and a huge Bruins fan, it was then the Montreal Canadiens. Oh, I love that rivalry, actually, between two of the original six. Rick, as a Raider fan, I hate the Steelers. Started back in the 70s when they would battle in the playoffs and the infamous inaccurate reception. Which is not actually what the catch is labeled, but you twist it however you need to twist it. Let's see. There was another one here that I thought was really, that was really worth passing along. Where'd it go? Don't tell me. Oh, here. Maybe it's because I'm old. Keep that first part in mind. Maybe it's because I'm old and I remember the George Steinbrenner era.
Does that qualify you as old?
Raise your hand right now if you remember George Steinbrenner.
I mean,
he was famous in Seinfeld, obviously, but also the longtime owner and architect of the New York Yankees. Do we have to be... Does that make us old? if we remember George Steinbrenner?
I don't think so.
Dear Lord. I mean, I already am battling the birthday blahs. No, I'm not. I had a great birthday. I don't mind being old. He says to me, the evil empire will always be the Yankees. I love it. If you're old enough to remember George Steinbrenner, Steve says in the NFL, the Patriots, because he's a Bills fan. In Montreal, Canadiens, because he's a Leafs fan. And then he's a Blue Jays fan, so he piles on the Yankees as well. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. Some good ones on Twitter that I'll try to squeeze in here before the end of the hour. Oh, and the end of the work week! Let's talk to Gene, who's in Youngstown, Ohio. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. How are you today?
Great. Thank you.
We love your show here.
I appreciate that.
The evil empire for me will always be Reggie Jackson. After what he did to Oriole fans in 1976 when he was traded to the Orioles and refused to play for the first 2 months of the season, which cost us the pennant that year, I will never forgive him for that.
Mm. I mean, he probably will never get over the fact that he can't reconcile your relationship either.
Oh, I don't think he's that great a player. And the funny thing about Reggie, his grandmother was from Baltimore, believe it or not.
Mm. Interesting.
And and I remember the days when you're maybe not old enough, but the late great Pete Franklin. You've heard of him, haven't you?
Maybe.
Pete Franklin, the godfather of sports talk radio in the country. Anyway, he had a group called the I Hate the Yankees Fan Club.
Oh, nope, don't know.
Where he used to pass out hankies to the people. And I still have one of his hankies. Although he's been dead for many years, but I can't stand the Yankees either. But that's the funny thing about the Yankees is they started in Baltimore way back in 1901, and they left Baltimore and went to New York and then became the Yankees. That's a lot of people don't remember that.
I don't remember that either. But I appreciate the history.
They used to be the Yankees used to be the Orioles, but.
All right.
Way back in the old days.
Gotcha.
We love you here in Youngstown, and I know you have relatives here.
Lots of family in that area, yes.
It's a great, great town, and we love to hear you in the morning.
All right.
Have a great day, Amy. Bye-bye.
Have a good weekend, Gene. Let's see. On Twitter, Todd says, LeBron is the evil empower. I'm going to assume that was not autocorrect, and that was actually what he meant to say. Let's see. Another tweet from Luke. As a Bayern fan, I hate Real Madrid. Faux show. I love the rivalries the other football. Keith, has anybody mentioned the Montreal Canadiens? Maybe that's too regional. I mean, no, I've heard of them. Their entire franchise and fan base is insufferable. And then he got a couple of hashtags in there as well. Let's see if I can work in a couple more. Dave says the Yankees and Notre Dame. Another tweet, I can't stand the Steelers. I'm a Cowboys fan. I grew up in Sharon, PA. Grew to hate the Steelers because of the fans. Yeah, often it's not about the team itself. It's about the fan base that rubs our noses in the success of the team. Let's be honest. Oh, let's see. There was another one that I wanted to read. Oh, here we go. Sanjay says, Boston, the Red Sox ruined a great 2004. The Bruins end the Leafs run most years with questionable play by some of their players. Oh, throwing a little jab in there. Another Keith includes the Yukon Huskies. They're not the Lady Huskies anymore, by the way. They're just the Huskies. Patty says, being a Clemson fan, my evil empire is Ohio State football. Oh, and here's Pete, a vote for Bengals ownership. There we go. Let's talk to Rick, who's in Baltimore. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
Good.
And happy birthday.
Thank you.
I think Ronald Reagan had it right. The evil empire is Russia or the former Soviet Union in the Olympics. Anytime they're, up against the U.S. in any event, you got to root against them.
Of course. And even when they're not against the U.S. in any event, I still sometimes root against them. And China. I would include China in there as well.
Yeah, they're creeping in. Yeah,
they're creeping in. They're creeping in a lot of things, Rick.
Ain't that true? Those robots they're developing for their army are ridiculous.
Good to hear from you this morning. Thank you.
Have a good week.
855-212-4227. That's always our number. Toll free. A couple more. Wes weighs in with Alabama. Why? Because of War Eagle. That's why. Another tweet, the Raiders, hands down. Trying to think, as a Denver Broncos fan going way back to when I was 13 years old, yeah, it was definitely the Raiders at that time. Though the Jaguars caused me angst as well when they were an expansion team with, shoot, what was that? Mark Brunell was the quarterback. Oh, my gosh. That brings back some memories. I always hated the Lakers. As a Celtics fan, my first true love in sports was the Boston Celtics, and the Lakers were just the angst. They created so much angst for me, especially late in the 80s with those various NBA finals between the Celtics and the Lakers and Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. And I used to hate Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. How can anyone hate Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? I could not stand that stupid skyhook. What? I mean, come on now. Can't you shoot a regular shot facing the basket? No, I was very petty. I hated the Lakers so much. It's faded a little bit, but still. I mean, old habits die hard. Let's see it. I don't know if there's any. I feel like every time I refresh, then I get some other ones. Jimmy says, as a UK fan, we all hate Duke. Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that have no reason to hate Duke, but they do anyway, just because. Here's a unique answer. Richie, the Idaho Vandals. Go orange, go big blue, fight, fight, BSU. This Imperial March makes me so happy.
I'm sorry.
It sends me cruising into the weekend.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
You suck, Brady.
This is producer Dave's personal crusade as we head up toward the top of the hour. Still, I cannot get over the guy who said he would root for North Korea before he would root for, what was it, the Canadiens or the Maple? I think it was the Maple Leafs. What? You need to be excommunicated from the nation. If you're an American, you need to go to North Korea and spend some time there, dope. That's a bad answer. That's taking it too far. As sports fans, when do we ever, ever take it too far? Thanks for all of your tweets, your Facebook posts. On that note, do not turn into the evil empire this weekend. We'll talk to you after the Masters Sunday. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.